Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. It's time for another trip report. No better way to start your week than to be dreaming about a Disney destination. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. We've got Valentine's Day just around the corner now in just a few weeks. And how about showing that person that you love in your life that you care about them enough to get them something they're passionate about? If you have a Disney fan in your life, I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes' new book that focuses on Walt Disney World and all that Walt Disney dreamed about to bring the Disneyland experience to the East Coast and bring that experience to Central Florida. Of course, he did not live long enough to make that happen, but there's lots of great lessons in there that can help you improve your career, your family life, your relationships with those around you. It's a great book. And of course, you got the original, The Wisdom of Walt. So check out these great books. Pick it up for the person that you love this Valentine's season over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with pictures, and so much more. For the cost of a counter service meal down at Walt Disney World, you get 365 days of great information that's going to save you hours and hours on your next trip. Check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1279 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you, everybody. You know, I know this is the dead of winter. It's cold most places. The temperature's fluctuating here in the Midwest. It's punch in the face cold, and then all of a sudden it's 60 degrees, and then I'm sure it'll be snowing again here in a couple days, but just ride that roller coaster of temperatures and weather, and before you know it, it'll be spring. Everybody get together and plan those vacations for 2018, and maybe you're heading down for Dark Side Weekend if you're one of the lizards. We got Princess next month, summer vacations. There's a lot to look forward to, and today, just to kind of give you some warmth and some sunshine. Well, not so much warmth, because I know what we're talking about today. It was kind of chilly. But we're going to take you down to Walt Disney World with a great trip report. And today we're headed up to Massachusetts with my friend Barbara. Barbara, how's it going today?
Oh, it's going great. I just got back 2 days ago, so maybe it's not that great, but it's good.
Yeah, isn't it tough, those? I give myself about a week, you know, getting back, because what happens is when I return, not only do you have to kind of catch up with laundry and you got to catch up with your job because, you know, in a lot of professions, it doesn't get done if you're not getting it done. So you get back, you're trying to catch up. But also, I catch myself in that week that I returned that, you know, this time last week, I was on Rock and Roller Coaster. This time last week, I was eating breakfast at Kona. You know, I'm doing that the whole time.
Exactly. I did that to my son today. I said, do you know, a week ago, we were at the Magic Kingdom. He's like, oh.
Kill me. I want to be back. I know. That's just, it kills you. You know, I was even catching myself saying, you know, this time last week, I was at mile 17 of the marathon, where I didn't really want to be at the time, but I would have traded places a week later, you know, than being home. So,
exactly. And I still find myself, I'm checking wait times. You know, today, this morning, Frozen was 15 minutes. And I said, maybe we should go back.
Well, you know, that's what an annual pass will do to you. You know, if only you had an annual pass for Southwest Airlines, then, I'd be in business. I'd be at the airport all the time. Anyway, so we're going to actually do something a little bit different. I know that a lot of times we have folks booked out for quite a period out, and so the shows can be for months and months previous, but we were actually on the calendar to do this show for almost a year, out as well, but you just happened to take the second trip, and you were there for Marathon Weekend a couple weeks back, so we're going to kind of shift gears, talk about your recent trip a couple weeks ago, and then at the end, talk about a stay at the Polynesian that we originally planned to talk about, but we want to keep it a more current, so tell us about this trip that you just took, you know, some of the basics, where you stayed, who you traveled with, and we'll dive into some of the details.
Sure. So we got there the Sunday of marathon weekend, so it was January 7th, and I traveled with my two college-aged children, 22-year-old daughter Sarah and my 19-year-old son Kyle, who actually lives in California now for school, but since he was on break, we figured we'd take advantage of a little trip. Unfortunately, my husband couldn't make it because he had just come back from a company shutdown for Christmas, so... I say, when he doesn't go, I can afford to go more, right? So it all worked out.
I'm not going to say that on record because too many people hear this and too many people know my wife. No way am I saying that on the podcast, but I get your drift. So is your family like a Disney family where, you know, you have the older kids? I have Paige kind of in that same age group, and, you know, she's grown up going to Disney. You know, we've been doing that since she was like 6 or 7, you know, almost yearly. So what's the backstory for your family?
So... I've gone since I was 7, so I don't want to age myself, but I think it was had only been open for a year when I went on my first trip. We went on our honeymoon, converted my husband, then didn't start taking my kids till they were 5 and 7 because I just didn't want to deal with the strollers and all of that and flying with kids. I was just too nervous about that. But since they've been 5 and 7, we've gone every 2 years, the four of us, and then the last probably 4 or 5 years, we've gone every year. So, and my kids, you know, my daughter especially, she'll be like, oh, we're going to Disney again. Can't we do something different? You know, we've gone to California, we've gone to New York, but it always comes back to going to Disney because, A, you can do something different all the time. B, the weather's usually nice. And C, there's so many places to eat, and that's the big part of vacation. So, my son is more like me. He just loves Disney, loves the magic of it. Just gets that warm, fuzzy feeling, he calls it, even at 19 years old. He and I have actually taken several trips by ourselves together.
That's awesome. Because those are great memories to build, as, you know, because I'm excited. I haven't done this yet with Mallory, but with Paige, you know, we took a couple, 3, 4 trips, just us two, and we had a blast, you know, for podcast weekends and race weekends and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to that with Mallory because I think that really is, you know, for folks that haven't done that, that's a great bonding time. Even when you don't take all of your kids, you know, if you just take one, you get to spend some quality time together. Really, a place like Disney lends itself to that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's less people's opinions of what to do and where to go, although they pretty much follow my lead. You know, I ask for their input and everything. But, you know, at 22 and 19-year-olds, they still bicker. So when you have one-on-one, it's, you know, sometimes a little bit nicer. But it was a great week.
I hear you. 21 and 9, they still bicker. But you know what? They're getting better. You know, so eventually they'll both be in college. You know, Paige, I don't know. She might still be in college when Mallory is. Who knows? She wants to go to school forever. But let's talk.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Oh, man. You know, eventually you got to get out of school and get a J-O-B. That's what I keep telling her. You know, instead of spending the money to go, you got to start making some money at some point. That's how the game works. But so let's talk about your trip down there. Now, I recall because I was down there before you. You got there kind of, I left the day after you arrived. I left on Monday. You arrived on Sunday. So you arrived on Marathon Sunday. And the weather was kind of breaking for the better, I believe, of course, as we were getting ready to head home, because it was cold while we were there. I mean, really, really cold for Florida. So overall, how was the weather? How were the crowds that week after Marathon?
The weather was much better than what you had. As I said before, we had left in minus 26 with the wind chill factor from Boston. So just even being 50 or 60 degrees, it was a huge turnaround. And of course, all week, all my friends kept texting me the week you guys were down there, you know, it's really cold in Florida. You know, it's cold in Florida. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not working and I'm going to be eating and walking and it's all good. So, you know, it was I'd say it was probably cloudy most days. We were chilly at night a couple of the nights, but on the last 3 nights, there was one night that I just said this was a perfect Florida night. I had shorts on, short sleeves. It was just a perfect weather. And then the Saturday night on the 13th that we left, you know, we were in heavy, you know, jackets and sweatshirts, and it was, you know, that Florida cold weather. So overall, it was really good. I did have one pool day. I finally did the Lazy River at the beach club. And that was probably one of my favorite days because it was just very relaxing. You know, I got some sun, and it wasn't full sun, but it was nice. So the weather was good. The crowds, They were heavy. They were much heavier than I even remember last year at this time going. So, you know, usually if you get to the park fairly early or you stay fairly late, you know, you can sneak on some rides like Soarin' with a 15-minute wait. And we didn't find that to happen this time. But overall, you know, with fast passes, everything went smooth.
Yeah, I think the thing is, if you know what's going on and you know how to plan your day out, you know, just general rules, you know, get that rope drop, you know, have your fast passes, do this, you know, yeah. You know where to go when it gets crowded. That's 90% of the battle. And like you say, when you get one of, you know, one or two of those really nice Florida days when you're going in January, that's a bonus, because I don't think if you're going, you know, say anytime in January, that you're going to get a solid week of, you know, upper 70s or 80s or even, you know, low 70s. You know, you're going to probably get maybe one or two days that are nice like that, and then maybe some cooler days. But I think that's what you got to do. Were you real flexible on saying, well, the weather's nice today, today's the day we're going to storm a Long Bay? Did you kind of modify your plans as you went? Because I think you really have to do that when you go this time of year.
Yeah, we did. This vacation wasn't overly planned like I usually am. You know, there were some days that we only had one fast pass, you know, and we switched fast passes around a lot. And so when I saw that the weather was going to be nice on one particular day, I said, let's just, you know, we'll do something in the morning, then have the afternoon to relax. Then we didn't have to make reservations for dinner that night, which is not like me, but it was just a much nicer pace. We also got very lucky. There was a couple of days that it might have been pouring in Animal Kingdom. We were in Magic Kingdom, and it was, you know, it was fine. So we got very lucky that way, too. There was some rain, but we never seemed to get it.
Good stuff. Okay, so tell me about Beach Club. You guys stayed there. Originally, I think you were planned, you said, for Polynesian. So how did that change happen, and were you happy with staying at Beach Club? What were some of the positives and negatives, if there were any?
So the Polynesian is, you know, the place that we always tend to stay at. Only if I get a discount. I will not pay full price. Even getting a discount is, you know, ridiculous amount of money. But it's just our family place. We love the atmosphere of it at all. So I booked the Polynesian, and then discounts came out, and the Polynesian did not have a discount. So I talked to my travel agent, and I said, you know, just look at the Beach Club, because I love that you can walk to Epcot and take the boat to the studios. And I think I saved like $1,100 from the Polynesian.
Wow.
So the kids whined a little bit, mostly my daughter, but it was, you know, it was well worth saving that amount of money. And, you know, I love the room. The room was nice and big. I asked for a balcony. The only downside, I would say, for the Beach Club for us was that we seemed to be put under the lounge level. We're on floor four. In the club levels, club five, you know, level five. And I think we were like under the lounge, so you could hear a lot of carts going back and forth. Now, if my husband was with me, I probably would have changed rooms, but didn't really bother me that much. But overall, you know, we had a great experience.
Yeah, the Beach Club was awesome. We stayed there as well. We didn't have a big balcony. We had a balcony that, well, if I got sideways, I could have fit on the balcony. It was one of those like little fake balconies. They're little bitty things. But we were on a great group rate, and they tell us when we book the group rates, you know, you're going to get kind of the leftover room, standard view, which was fine because we weren't hanging out in the balcony anyway. But it's the amenities of that resort were really nice. You know, of course, like you said, the proximity to the studios and to Epcot can't be beat. And just, you know, having Storm Along Bay, which I didn't get to swim in, that killed me. But knowing it was there, and Beaches and Cream, and being able to walk to the boardwalk, it was just... It was nice. So now, did you offer that your daughter, you know, you guys could stay at the Polynesian if your daughter kicked in $1,100 and brought it even? There you go.
Yes, absolutely. The one thing when we walked, you know, every time we walked into the Polynesian, this just has a smell about it that we all love. But when we walked into the Beach Club, they're like, oh, this smells so good. So now they have a new, you know, smell to associate Disney with. And it was nice because the first day we got there, you know, the marathon was going on, so I got to meet Ricky and see all the BOGP supporters. But then we could just walk right across to the boardwalk and get something to eat, no problem, which was huge coming off, you know, off of an early flight.
Yeah.
You know, just being having that proximity was fantastic.
It's dangerous having Ample Hills and Beach Club within striking distance there by foot. That's just,
you know,
that's
and
not
I didn't
good.
Do either. And I thought of you.
you
I
did.
Said, that's the place that Mike from the podcast says is really good. And then we actually really like the soft serve ice cream at the Dolphin. I don't know what it is about it. It's just loaded with fat, but it's soft serve. So we went there twice.
You know what? We went there too. Now that I think about it, we did all three. We did the fountain. We did it all. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But yes, I had a peanut butter and jelly shake over there. So Yeah, I sound like a pig here. So anyway, let's talk about your times, you know, touring the parks and the fun you had outside of staying at your resort. So what were some of the highlights?
Well, of course, at Poly, all centers around food. We love the food. I'll just talk about a little bit about our favorite meals, which was Canada by far. I mean, we've eaten in Canada probably every other trip, you know, because it is pricey. But we had filet mignon, the cheddar cheese soup, and I actually got mashed potatoes instead of the risotto that it comes with. It was to die for. We're still talking about it. And the nice thing is, you know, we could get dessert to go, and we're only walking, you know, a few hundred yards to get back to our hotel, which was really nice. We also did Liberty Tree Tavern, which is just a favorite of ours. It's because it's New England, and where we're from, New England, it's very New England-ish. You know, you can get that turkey dinner, so you, if you don't want to have a meat or a, you know, Italian type of food and all that. So eating is definitely one of our highlights. We did the fireworks party at the Magic Kingdom the first night. That was one of the kids' Christmas presents. And my daughter always is complaining that we never stay for the fireworks, never watch the fireworks, because usually if we stay at the Polynesian, you know, you can see them from the beach. But I knew with the projections that, you know, we wanted to have an up-close personal view. So I did a lot of research on that, and we did the garden viewing, which you actually stand up, but I think it was a much better viewing than the Tomorrowland Terrace. So basically you pay a certain rate, you get dessert, drinks, hot and cold drinks, and then they escort you to the special viewing section. And we felt very, very special because people were trying to break into it and they wouldn't let them.
That is awesome. Now, let me ask you this, though, because this is one of the questions I get a lot, not only booking travel for guests, but also for the podcast. We've answered a couple times, but I've never done it personally at the Magic Kingdom. I've done the parties at Epcot and at the studios. But would you do it again? Did you find good value in it? You know, you said you kind of felt like a VIP, but was it priced where that you thought you got your value out of what you paid? I mean, what would you recommend to a friend?
I mean, I did, because I think just the spot where you got to view and not have to fight the crowds was worth it, no matter whether or not you had desserts or drinks or whatever. I don't even remember, Mike, what I paid. It was cheaper than if you did the Tomorrowland Terrace where you actually sit down. But I would definitely do it again. My daughter would do it again. That we did our highs and lows of the vacation, and that was definitely her high of the vacation.
That's cool because, you know, again, it's a new experience probably for you guys, I'm imagining. And that, you know, that's why we go back. You get to try new things every time. And like you said, I think that, you know, things like this, and I know that they're, you know, they're upsells for Disney. You know, they're things where, you know, 10 years ago you didn't pay money to see fireworks, but times are changing slightly with, you know, like you said, with the projections. You know, you used to be able to watch the fireworks. Just Wishes was fine from the beach at the Polynesian. Actually, I think it was better. You know, it was kind of like a more panoramic view with the castle, and you could see the Contemporary and the water and the reflections and all that. But, you know, nowadays, you know, even at the studios and at the Magic Kingdom, you got to be up close because the projections are, you know, probably 70% of the show.
Exactly, and I didn't realize the fireworks started at 8 o'clock, but at 7:30 they started the projections alone. And I have to say, even though I'm kind of sick of the movie, Frozen got me a little teary-eyed, and then they do the projections while they do the fireworks. So you really don't even just have the fireworks. It's probably like 45 minutes of show that you're watching. So I definitely would do it again.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, Elsa's a bad word here in the Midwest. There's a wanted poster out by the local police because somebody thinks they made her mad, and it's so cold you can't breathe. So we're not gonna say the Frozen word around here anymore. So
okay, we won't say that.
Just kidding. You know what I was thinking about? I didn't see Happily Ever After on the marathon weekend trip. I saw Illuminations 3 times, saw the Star Wars fireworks a couple times, but never made it to Happily Ever After. I can't believe I did that. I didn't even think about that until just now. Bummer.
Had you seen it before?
I have. I've seen it before, and I like it a lot. But it just I guess it worked out. We were never in the Magic Kingdom at the end of the night, which I got to correct that in April. I'm going back in April, so I'll make sure I do that.
Oh, I'm so jealous already. one of the other things we did for the first time was we ate in Cinderella's Castle.
Oh, nice.
Breakfast. And, you know, back when the kids were younger, it was almost impossible to get a reservation there for breakfast or for any meal. I don't even remember if they did lunch or dinner back then. So my daughter's like, can we just, you know, eat in the castle? And I said, okay, well, you're 22 and 19. This might be a little strange, but okay. But, again, it's pricey, but I'm glad we did it at least once. And we never felt out of place. When my daughter saw Cinderella, she's like, I'm starstruck. So It was really nice. It was really cool being in the castle, and the food was decent. You know, again, like most Disney character breakfasts, it's pricey, but to me, it was worth it at least to do once. So, yeah. And if you have little girls, I highly recommend it. Even little boys, because you know they treat the boys, they give them swords, and it's a nice experience.
Yeah, it's funny because actually you haven't heard the show yet, but the show's coming out as we're recording the show. The listener question show is going to come out in about an hour. But we get a question about a mom asking if she should take 3 and 5-year-old boys to Cinderella's Royal Table. So, you know, I think it's fun, but it's a long meal, though, right? I mean, how long do you think you were in there? Because I think a lot of people are curious about it because it is kind of one of those ultimate Disney experiences. But I think very few people have actually gone through the meal there.
So you prepay everything, including the tip. So I would say we were probably there probably an hour. You know, we had a 9:15 seating, and I'd say we were out of there by 10:15. They have it very, you know, how they do the, you know, they do the princesses. We were in there, we got our food, and then the princesses all came out. They moved fairly quickly, you know, on the tables, but they took their time with the kids and everything. So it wasn't a real long process, and then you don't have to wait for your check or anything like that. So that kind of moves it along a bit. That part was pretty nice.
Good point. All right, so what are some of the other highlights from the stay down there a couple weeks back?
So I would say we hadn't seen Pandora yet, so we went to Pandora. It's funny because usually our little trick has always been we get a reservation at the Tusker House for breakfast at Animal Kingdom, and then, you know, we get right on Expedition Everest and the safari, all of that. So, you know, and we're used to going, there's like 4 or 5 people because you get an 8:30 reservation when the park opens at 9. So, you know, we're used to being like 2 or 3 people being at the gate, blah, blah, blah. Well, we got on the bus at 8:00. I could not believe how many people were on the bus, how many people were flying through the gates to get to Pandora. And we didn't even go. We had fast passes to later, so we didn't even go that way. So we sat down at the Tusker House at 8:30. Got on the safari at 9:00, 9:15, and I looked at the wait times for Pandora. It was 3 hours.
That's
crazy. I
was
just like, Avatar Flight of Passage ride, sorry. I could not believe that. So I feel very blessed that we were able to get fast passes. So we actually spent pretty much a full day at Animal Kingdom. Absolutely, positively loved Flight of Passages. I was worried about getting nauseous or sick. I don't generally get that way, but sometimes I get a little bit nauseous, and we all absolutely loved it. Again, I wouldn't wait 3 hours for any ride, but we had fast passes. It moved pretty quick. There was a breakdown, so we had probably waited about 10 minutes longer, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I've said it's not really in my, you know, top 10 rides because I'm more of a physical ride guy. Like I like the experience of like a big Thunder Mountain Railroad, a Splash of Space, you know, a Pirates even. You know, I like the physical, you know, movement and the water itself. But I think everybody needs to give Flights of Passage a shot because so many people have fallen in love with it. They love the story, how it really draws you in. I mean, you are right there on that banshee. It's really awesome. Now, I'm with you. I don't know if I'm going to wait 3 or 4. When I see a sign, here's kind of my rule, and this is the only place I've ever seen this sign. You know, when there's a sign that says there's no bathroom in this line, you know, so consider getting in it right now. That makes me nervous. That might be too long of a line for Mike to get in. I'm just saying that's one of those cautionary tales, I think.
I totally agree with that. So the interesting thing is the first day we went during the day on a Wednesday, and then we went back the Saturday night before we left because I wanted to see it at night, not thinking we would, you know, get on anything. So we did the nighttime safari, which we had never done before, and that was pretty good. And then we were able, now this is an hour before the park closed, then we went on Expedition Everest a couple of times without a fast pass, and then we actually got on the river ride in Pandora. I don't remember the name of it, I'm sorry, but we just walked in, probably 10-minute wait, and that was it. But again, the Avatar Flight of Passage at 8:00, when the park closed at 8:00, was 100 minutes wait time.
Which, I mean,
it was,
you know,
cool to see at night, though.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I say, you know, if you're going to stay up late, and the thing is, the parks don't stay open that late in January. It's not like they're staying open until 10 o'clock. Usually they're closing at 8 or so. You know, so even if you hop in that line right at the end of the night, you know, 100 minutes is way better than, you know, 250 earlier in the day. You know, it's less than half of what it was. And plus, you need to see Pandora at night. I mean, that's where it sings. Even if you don't have Fastpass, even if you're not planning on riding anything, walk through Pandora. You know, grab something to eat at Setuli Canteen. I know I've been pronouncing it wrong all these years, and people have been helping me out here, so I got it right. And I knew it. I just was saying it wrong. It's a Midwestern thing, I think. But, you know, grab a bite to eat, grab one of those cool drinks, and just walk around Pandora for a half hour before you head back to your hotel. Because, like I say, the park hours aren't that long in the wintertime, so you're still going to get back to your hotel at a decent night that you're not going to throw away the next morning if you're going somewhere early.
Right, exactly. And it was cold. That was the last night we were there, and it was cold. It was like, you know, 40 degrees. So Magic Kingdom was actually open late till midnight that night. It wasn't extra magic hours. It was just open. So we actually went right from Animal Kingdom over to the Magic Kingdom and did the fast passes that we had that night. And it was still, you know, even though it was cold, but it was also Martin Luther King weekend. So it was this past weekend. It was pretty crowded.
Yeah, that's one of those things. This January, at least this first half of January of 2018, has been kind of like the perfect storm for crowds, because the way it worked out was that I think the school schedules, a lot of schools, at least here in the Midwest and in the South, they went to school till right before that weekend before Christmas. So they might have gone to school till like the 21st or something of December. And then they were off for 2 weeks after, which took them right into the marathon weekend crowds. And then this year, the marathon weekend crowds kind of tended to stay, you know, Monday, Tuesday. And then I think, you know, come Thursday, people were coming in for the Martin Luther King, you know, long weekend. And I think it's, you know, good for Disney's bottom line. But I think it's just been crowded here for the first like 20 days of January.
It really has. And then you have all like my kids, college students that are still on break as well. So, you know, that makes a big difference. So they had started the Festival of Arts at the Epcot on Friday. My son actually did four parks on Saturday, and he went to Epcot, and he said it was the most crowded he's ever seen it. And, you know, there were booths set up for food and drinks and then art. So I think all of that makes a difference. And then they had discounted rates for the, you know, for that time period. So all of that. But it's manageable as long as you get your fast passes and have a little bit of flexibility and, you know, maybe want to stay at a park late at night or get up early and take a rest during the day. It was definitely manageable.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the folks listening to this show, obviously, most of you guys, you know, have gone many times, have a great strategy, because that's how you survive being a Disney fan. You know, you try things, you think you have a great plan. Maybe it doesn't work out as well as you thought. You modify it, and, you know, the second or third, the fourth trip, you got it down. You know, you got a plan to figure it out. But if it's your first time, we have a lot of first-time people planning their very first trip. Just, you know, follow the advice of folks like Barbara and the folks that have come on our show. You know, they've been there and done that, know what works out best. But no matter what, you're going to have a good time. You got to be patient and just know that, you know, the magic's there. You just can't expect that. I think the problem is, I think a lot of folks, especially first-timers, think that it's going to be like the planning videos, which is, you know, what Disney wants you to think. When you see the commercials during Dancing with the Stars or, you know, Monday Night Football, they'll show a commercial for Walt Disney World, and it's like, oh, I'm going to skip down Main Street with Mickey in one hand and Goofy in the other, you know, not
there's
happening.
Nobody
yeah,
there.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, and the fireworks are the only, it's just your family. You know, there's nobody else in the Magic Kingdom to see the fireworks into that. It's not like that, but you know what? It's a special place. And I think, you know, you've gone back years and years, and it is. I mean, it's crowded and it's busy, but it's still a pretty awesome place no matter when you go.
It is. And there were two things that were happening that week as well. So the University of Central Florida football team had won national titles through Florida. I don't know. It's very complicated the way they did it. So they had a big parade for them at the Magic Kingdom. So that was extremely crowded that day. And then there was actually a college dance and cheer competition at the ESPN Sport Complex, which I know that doesn't really affect the parks, but there was a lot of, you know, cheerleaders and dancers around. And actually my daughter's friend was down there. So we took an Uber over from the beach club to the ESPN complex and watched her perform, which was really cool. So I just want to mention too that Uber was so easy. It cost me, because I had a, you know, free first $5 or whatever off, cost me $2 each way.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to park there, which was like $30 if you stayed there. So those are two new things, you know, that happened that, you know, may have made the crowds a little bit heavier as well.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a Midwesterner, and we all have our own cars. You know, we're not like, you know, maybe in New York or, you know, San Francisco, where people are really accustomed to taking public transportation. You know, we have a light rail system, but not, you know, I live in the suburbs, so it's nowhere too close to where I live. But, you know, when I go to Walt Disney World, Uber, man, I take that all the time because it's just so easy and they can drop you off right where you need to be. You're not worried about parking. You know, it's like even without a coupon, it's usually like $7 or $8 a ride. And when you consider what your time's worth, you want to wait 30 minutes for a bus here and 30 minutes for a bus there. You know, we'll jump an Uber from, especially going resort to resort or somewhere like I said, Wide World of Sports. It's convenient. You don't want to discount that.
Exactly. And, you know, I will mention that the bus services at times were a little bit slow going to Animal Kingdom and Disney Springs. I think one time for Animal Kingdom, we probably waited over 30 minutes. So, you know, they have the boards at the bus stops, which are great, but they kept changing. So, you know, but overall, it wasn't bad. I mean, if I own Disney, I would suggest putting those boards in your room, you know, having it on one of the Disney channels so you could say, okay, it's 5 or 6. The next bus is due to come at 6:18. I don't have to leave the room for another 10 minutes or so, especially when the weather's not, you know, the greatest. But
yeah, I'll tell you, you know where they should put those? Put that on the app, because that way you have it in your hand. You know what I'm saying?
That's
you have it
true.
Everywhere. So right there, put it in the app, you know, so.
See, you and I should just run Disney World together and be all set.
I have great
along with all the rest of BOGP.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a great idea guy when it comes to following through with getting it done. Not so much, but I can I can come up with the idea. That's me. That's more my style. So now you mentioned you guys went to Disney Springs. Seems like that'd be a great environment for your travel party. So did you guys have a good time over there?
We had a great time. So our previous trip, we didn't make it there. So it was our first time. And the Monday, the day after we got there, we kind of wanted a low-key day. So we ate over at the Kona Cafe at the Polynesian and then took the bus over. And I enjoyed it. You know, it is definitely upscale parts of it, but I like that they didn't really touch, like, the old marketplace area, because I like how that looks and stuff. So we enjoyed that. And then we have friends that live in the area, so we actually met them one night that week as well and ate at, like, Planet Hollywood and walked around. So I love that stuff. I'm not a big shopper, but I love the atmosphere of it.
So let me ask you about your meal at Planet Hollywood, because I know that's my good buddy Matt Parrish from Wedway Radio in the 3028. That's one of his, I know he was just down there this past week, and he was raving about that's his favorite place from back in the day. And actually, I went down for a media event as the new part of the Springs was opening up, and I had a killer meal, you know, from Planet Hollywood, and still haven't been back because we tend to go to places like Deluxe Burger, Blaze Pizza, you know, just here and there and everywhere. So was it a good meal? Was it average? What'd you think?
I think it was pretty average. So we originally had reservations for homecoming that night at later on in the night, but just for the three of us, but with meeting up with my friends, I couldn't change it. So we decided on Planet Hollywood. It was loud. It's very loud. So if you're trying to catch up with people, it's a little bit harder. But the food was good. I just had basic Caesar salad because I'm pretty boring when it comes to that stuff. But I had a good cocktail, which was nice. We had they have one of those, you know, those shakes that you see with all the candy on the side of it.
Oh yeah.
my daughter had one of that. You know, definitely overpriced, but it was a good experience. I wouldn't rush back. No offense to Matt Parrish, but I wouldn't rush back.
I think he's just got fond memories of the Pleasure Island days. I don't know. You know, I'm guessing, you know, from way back in the, you know, Disney, Downtown Disney 1.0 days, you know, before the, you know, not Disney Village, but, you know, Downtown
Disney
days.
Right, when they used to have the band on the street.
Yes.
And you'd walk through with the
man.
Bear. And
you know what?
I did that in my early 20s. Oh, it was a great time.
I miss Pleasure Island. That was like the coolest place to go from club to club to club. And it was safe. And it was New Year's Eve every night. Remember that? They did the New Year's Eve fireworks at midnight. Every night. It didn't matter. It could be like May 20th. Okay, it's for the, you know, it's not 4th of July. It's New Year's Eve. Let's shoot off the fireworks. It's great.
Oh, it was fantastic. I remember that well. The other good meal I just wanted to mention, Primetime Diner. So my son and I have gone quite a few times, but my daughter and my husband are kind of like, they don't want the attention, you know, type of thing. So we made my daughter go, and she loved it. It's just the whole atmosphere of it. The food was really good. The waitress was very good and engaging, but not overpowering, you know what I mean? So so I ended up getting fried chicken there instead of at homecoming like I really wanted to.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't get to go to homecoming this past trip either. I had the opportunity the day we got there, but we had a late, you know, not a late flight. We got in at like at 7 and everybody was eating at 8, and I just didn't want to have to rush as soon as we landed. But right. There was one night where the rest of our crew went over to Maria and Enzo's at Disney Springs. It was right after it opened to check it out, but we just didn't make it there. And I had the saddest, I mean, the most sad chicken leg and scoop of mashed potatoes from the marketplace at the beach club. You know, the little, they only had like three things on the menu, but it was like 9:30 at night. I hadn't had dinner and I was starving. And it was so depressing after having had homecoming over the summer and how good it was. It was just,
I can imagine.
I was crying on the inside that I was having that for one of my meals at Disney. I mean, like, that wouldn't even have been a good meal here back home. So, you know.
And that's why we keep going back, right? So you can try all the different restaurants.
I took a picture of it and sent it to my buddy Scott because I was like, you are eating at Maria and Enzo's. I'm eating this sad chicken leg and scoop of potatoes that are cold from the marketplace at Beach Club. So, yeah. But, you know, you gotta balance things out. So what can you do? So, well, exactly. You know what? It's about time to wrap it up. But let me ask you this as we kind of close, because I think you're onto something really cool here. Taking your, you know, I know your husband couldn't make it, but going down with your college age kids, time is so valuable once they get that age. You know, I've learned that with Paige. You know, she's away at school most of the year. She comes home for breaks. She's going to Ireland this summer, so we won't get to see her very much, you know, even over the summer this year. So that time is so precious. And to go a place, you know, to a place like Walt Disney World where you can spend time together, have good meals, make some memories in the parks, just hang out. Even if you're in a queue, you're sitting there talking, catching up on, you know, each other's lives. What advice would you have to somebody that's kind of in the same situation? They want to do something like this with their kids?
Just go for it, basically. Even if your kids squawk a little bit, you know, we're going to Disney, that's for, you know, little kids, whatever. It's just a great, great time. So my son was in California now for school, and he actually goes to school full year, so he doesn't come home much. So we've gone to Disneyland quite a few times. But so everything Disney is just very emotional, and, you know, the three of us did not want to leave. We did not, after a week of, with each other, the three of us never separating, we didn't want to leave. So it's just very bonding. No matter what, you know, we're going to fight, we're going to argue, but it's all good.
It's so weird because, like, when they're little, you know, like when Mallory was little, like if I saw the Finding Nemo, the musical, I don't know, everybody loves it, but I think it's cool for dad. You know, I was like choked up because, you know, she's my little thing, you know, and now it's like, you know, I'm crying over Paige going away, you know, like thinking about her, you know, this summer she wants to study abroad, you know, when's she ever going to get that chance in her life? So we're like, you know, go for it. But deep down, I don't want her to go away for the summer. I want her to go on vacation with us to Walt Disney World like we do every year. But, you know, they're getting older and they're, you know, they have to have their own lives. But it's one of those things that when you get, like I said, when you get the time and you get to go to a place where you can escape reality there for a week, you don't have, you know, homework or you don't have job obligations, you don't have, you know, the draw of social media quite as much as you do in everyday life. You know, you got to jump on it because, you know, time's of the essence, especially with the age of our kids.
Exactly. And it's interesting that my both my kids get very frustrated if we're at dinner and they see other people on their phones throughout the dinner. They're very good about, you know, putting their phones down and all of that. So I'm very lucky. And I figure, you know, as long as I'm paying, they're probably going to try as best as they can to come with me. So it's all good.
Oh, good stuff. Well, Barbara, you made this a fun Monday. We appreciate it. And, you know, we'll have to talk again. And I wish I could have caught you there. Maybe if I'd have been going a little bit slower on Marathon, we would have met up at the beach club. But next year I'll work a little harder. But again, thanks for taking the time, and hope you have a great 2018. Thanks for kicking it off with us here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mike. It was fun.
All righty. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books. And like I said at the top of the show, Valentine's Day right around the corner. Show that person that you love in your life that you get them. You know, you can't just go and buy the candy and the flowers and the little hearts, the hard candy hearts. Everybody does that. You know what? You'll hit a home run with that Disney lover in your family by buying them one of these books. You know, it's wintertime. It's a great time to catch up in your reading. You got Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, the new book by Jeff Barnes, talking about how Walt dreamed of bringing the Disneyland experience to the East Coast down to Central Florida. And of course, you got the original, which is The Wisdom of Walt. And just, you know, great books that not only give a lot of history on the parks, but also they're self-help books. They're books that are going to motivate you to build better relationships with your family, your coworkers, and everybody around you. So check them out. They're great books. You can pick them up on Amazon or just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com today. Also, we're brought to you by touringplans.com, the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World's official website. That's kind of hard to say, but it's got all the great information. If you got the big book, the 800-plus page book that tells you everything you need to know about your Walt Disney World vacation, this is the website. This will tell you how to, you know, when to zig, when everybody else is zagging, what days are the most crowded, what days are the best days to go, restaurant reviews, hotel pictures. You know, if you want to know what a room looks like on the fourth floor corner of Wilderness Lodge, you can look at it right there. And of course, amazing touring plans you can customize yourself. So check out all the great services they offer over at touringplans.com. And please do use our Amazon affiliate link if you do any shopping this week. It really does help support the show. Costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits, and it really does help support us. So again, anytime you shop on Amazon, please click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page. Drop by today at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right. Till we get back together on Wednesday to answer your listener questions, we'll turn you loose here. And thanks to Barbara, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great week. Time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.